In Genesis 2 and verse 18, after the Lord had made everything and said it is good, everything he made, he said that it was good. From the earth to the sky, the stars, the fish in the sea, the animals in the land, the grass, everything he did, he said it was good. And then in verse 18 of chapter 2, the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make an helpmeet for him. The idea of the helpmeet, I believe, has been just grossly mistaken, both in the world and in Christianity. And my thoughts are very much towards men this morning, as it is to women. But I mean, if you think about Adam in the garden, what did he need in a perfect world? And this sounds kind of funny, but what did he need in a perfect world that a woman could supply him? It wasn't that he needed his dishes washed. And I think that the world of the 50s and 60s taught us that. And it's just not, that wasn't the primary need. Now, by all means, if you're twiddling your thumbs at home, wash the dishes. But I don't think that was the intent altogether. I don't think that was the purpose altogether. In a perfect garden, God said it's not good that the man should be alone. I'll make someone for him. You know, there's not a lot that you can do alone. I've worked construction by myself, and that's frustrating. I mean, you know, I have a 6'2" arm span. I can reach further than almost anybody, but there's just not much you can do with a 16-foot board with a 6-foot arm span. You know, it's just, there's not much you could do. And I think the primary function that the Lord was alluding to was a spiritual one, and the plan for replenishing the earth, and there's a lot of things there. I just want to note that it was not the way that we often view women, and that frustrates me. It frustrates me that there are women that don't understand their place, and it frustrates me that there are husbands that don't understand her value and her purpose. It frustrates me that there are men that would never touch a dish. That drives me insane. We have a lot of kids in our house. Our dishwasher runs at least two to three times a day, every day. And I'm involved in that. At this stage of the game, I have to be a helper to her. And don't get hung up on these things. I have no respect for a man that works a 9-to-5 job and spends every weekend playing with his hobbies and never does anything around the house. I don't have any respect for that person, especially if there are children in the home, because they require a lot of work and a lot of effort. That concept, that frustrates me when I see that happening. I often say the second child was the biggest change in our life. People say, oh, it's like having 5 kids. It's not really. It was the second child. That was when I had to give up my selfishness. We had 2 of them right in a row. The first one, there's no sweat off my back. I could just keep doing all the things that Mark loved to do. I could stay in love with Mark and do all the things I liked. And then another one came right close, and then it's like, okay, you got one, I got one. How am I supposed to do all those things I like to do? Now I'm committed. Now I'm involved, you know. But we've been painted this picture, and it strikes me as I read this passage, what was the intent? It certainly wasn't what the 50s and 60s taught us that it should be. When we got married, my wife and I was pastoring and working full time, and I was busy pastoring, and I was really the only man in the church there in Frankfurt that could do anything. We had Brother Stratton, but his health was bad, and he needed caring for, and he needed work done around his house, and I was the only man to work on the building, the only man to lead the singing, the only man to teach the classes. And after a few weeks of a radical change of being married and all of that, my wife looks at me and she says, "What can I do? You need help." I mean, she looked at me and she said, "You need help. What do I do?" And so we started thinking about what could she do, and she started taking things off of my shoulders and helping me, and we accomplished amazing things. The Lord allowed us to do wondrous things and blessed us in northern Michigan, and we had a good life there. If you turn to Proverbs 31 with me, some more thoughts. In Proverbs 31, the first verse says, "The words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him." Now, Bible days were much different than our days. In the Bible days, kings went forth to battle. I mean, kings carried a sword and a spear. Well, that'd be unheard of in our day. And not only that, but queens had work that they did too. You know, we have been lulled by a society and a thought process that you get to a certain place and there are just some things that you don't do. You just have other people do those things, you know. And that was not the case. Kings went forth to battle and queens also did work. In Proverbs 31, he's instructing King Lemuel's mother is instructing him concerning finding a virtuous woman, and which would be his wife, which would be the queen. And she says, "Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies." Boy, if she was rare back then, she's really rare now. She's hard to find. I thank the Lord that though I was a young boy, just chasing a pretty girl, you know, the Lord watched over me and blessed me, blessed my life. But who can find a virtuous woman? Her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax. Why in the world would the queen be seeking wool and flax and making clothing? She was a humble lady as a queen. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She doesn't have to work. Doesn't have to do anything. But she does. She says, "King Lemuel, I want you to find a woman like that. You need to find a young lady." Well, young ladies today, they don't do anything. I mean, young ladies today they're pretty pathetic. They shop. They might get a part-time job just so they can shop some more. You know? I mean, young ladies in our world today, I would hate to have to find a wife today. I would hate that. That would be a disaster. I think about the fact that you know, we have a home that takes a lot of effort to run. I don't think there's anybody up to the challenge. Verse 14, she's like merchant ships, bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is night and giveth meat to her household and portion to her maidens. Now, some of you men heard verse 15 and you're saying, now we're talking. She's up making some sausage and some ham and before I even get out of bed. Now we're getting somewhere. Notice, she didn't have to. She had maidens. She riseth and giveth a portion to her maidens. She's up before her servants. She's serving her servants. She doesn't need to. The Proverbs 31 woman was not created to wash the dishes and put a meal on the table. She didn't have to. She had maidens. But she had a servant's heart. She was in the business of serving people. Young men, as you search for a woman, find one that's doing something. Doing something. Worth something. Reading on, verse 16, she considereth the field and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hands she planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength. She doesn't have to go to curves and Zumba. She's working. She's doing stuff. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle. Her hands hold the distaff. She stretcheth out her hands to the poor. Yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She was in the work of serving people. She didn't need to be working. She didn't need to be doing any of these things, but she had a heart of serving people. Well, God has made us men kind of like bulldozers, and we're workers. I mean, we'll work through the night. We'll work, work, work. And God has given us wisdom for a very special work, or a wife for a very special work of ministry that we may never have opportunity to. There are areas and people that my wife can minister to that I can never minister to. And I found that there's times that God has called me just to get out of her way. And He's called me to create time and watch the kids and do whatever I need to do so that she can minister. Because she's naturally, that is what she does. She was not placed in the garden to wash dishes. There probably were none. But she has been created as a vessel of emotions and tenderness. And, you know, women can do things that we never can. Notice verse 23. We don't have any time left. But notice verse 23. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. That's Mrs. Lemuel's husband. You know, sometimes it's the other way around in our world. But she was known by him. He was known by her. He was known by this great woman. And for what she was. This was very true in my life in Cadillac, and it doesn't take long anywhere we live for this to be true. I'll just give you a quick story because we're out of time. But I would go to the bank, you know, and I banked for the church, and I banked for myself, and sometimes for work. And I go to the bank, and, you know, they're like, did you run a tape on that? Do you have this? Do you have that? Where's your ID? You know, just matter of fact. And then I go on my way, and they're just kind of harsh with me, you know, like I bothered them to be there. And one day I pull up with my wife, and they go, "Oh, you're her husband." Like, well, yeah. Well, it's nice to meet you. Well, I didn't know you were. I didn't know you were hers. From then on, I was treated golden. I mean, and it was like that everywhere. I go places, they treat me like chopped liver. I walk in with her. Oh, I didn't. You guys are together. Oh, well, it's just wonderful to have you here. Oh, come sit over here. And she ministered to people all around. I had a job of just dressing the garden and bulldozing through life, and God had given her a life of ministry. And while I was putting food on the table, she was ministering to people and working in their lives. And young men, find a woman like that. And I would encourage men to not expect the things that the world has told us to expect out of women, and expect something very different, something spiritual. She was placed in the garden for a spiritual work, and not a physical one. And it was a perfect world. It was a perfect garden. It didn't need, that's not what Adam needed. He needed a spiritual helper, a spiritual worker. And that's your place. The Bible says that though you've not been given a place of authority in this world, that you'll be saved in childbearing. In other words, you have mighty power through through your work and ministering to your children and ministering through the home is a wondrous thing, and it has an effect in the world. I mean, it doesn't take long for my wife to take hold in a community, and then I'm known by her. It's already happened in Lapeer. I'm on the chamber. I'm on the Downtown Business Association, but it doesn't take her a couple times to get her hair cut in town, and then now I'm somebody. You know, oh, you own that place down there? Yeah, your wife comes in, and okay, here we go. But her work is a spiritual work, and that's what we're to look for. It's what we're to require, and not so much the physical things as that she was a minister, a servant, ministering, doing a mighty work that many times I couldn't do because I was tied to the duties of the garden, and she was free to serve. And the Bible says we're partakers of the grace of God together. I have mundane, menial task of providing. Has to be done. And she's my spiritual partner, accomplishing great spiritual things. She did much of the ministering in Cadillac, and many times was the one giving the gospel to the women and to the young ladies, and teaching them and instructing them in their lives was very much her doing. Because I worked and I preached and I just did the mundane, menial, bulldozer tasks, and she did all the rest, and that's the union. And the Bible says we partake of that grace together. Her rewards are my rewards, and my rewards are her rewards. We partake of it together. Adam said, "This is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh." God had given her to him while he was dressing the garden and naming all the animals. And as he named all the animals, he had no bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh. The animals there had male and female, and he was all of his own. And God brought her to him in the midst of that work of naming the animals, and he said, "This is bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of the man." And she was a part of him, to him. And you partake of all the same blessings together in life. We'll stop there.